Moncrief on News Talk.
Are you in the office every day, or do you have the luxury of working remotely? And just how close are you with your colleagues? You might have met your other half at work, or they, do your co-workers drive you bananas with their annoying habits? Let's get into that shortly. And how might AI change all of this? Author Sylvia Leatham explores these questions in her debut novel, Chaos Theory, and she joins me now. Sylvia, good afternoon to you. Thank you for coming in, and sorry for butchering your first name. It was your second name I was worried about, and then I messed up the first one. You see, you should never overthink anything. Tell me this, for people who don't know, Chaos Theory, we're going to get into office culture and whether it's still alive or not, but Chaos Theory is your debut novel, and it's an interesting premise about a person having to mind a robot in an office. Tell us what the plot is without giving too much away.
Yeah, thanks. I will definitely tell you all about the plot. So it's set in the world of an office of an Irish tourism agency, kind of a typical, semi-state type of vibe.
I wonder who you could possibly mean.
And then one day, unexpectedly, a walking, talking humanoid AI robot joins the workforce. And one particular member of staff called Maeve, who's quite bored in her job and she has the capacity, is tasked with taking on the robot and kind of making the most of him while he's there.
Okay.
So the book is called Chaos Theory, so that the chaos that's caused is largely caused by the arrival of this new colleague to the office and the effect that that has on everybody around him.
Okay. And does she, I read a bit about it, unfortunately I haven't read the book, but does she then take the robot out around Ireland and things like that?
Yeah, so it's a romantic comedy with the emphasis on the comedy.
Right.
So through a series of events, she ends up being dispatched on a road trip around Ireland with this robot who's called Kobe, and also with her co-worker who she's been hooking up with kind of before the book starts, and they have a kind of on again, off again thing. So they end up like visiting County Clare, and they go to the Burren, where the robot has a lot of issues with walking over the Burren surface.
Okay.
And they go to the cliffs of Moher. And then there's other, they visit Athlone. There's like a conference there that they go to. So it's kind of like a road trip, an adventure, a romance. And it's really, really fun and entertaining. But under the surface, there's questions about AI and about ethics and about researchers and, research ethics and in AI development.
Okay. And obviously, I have to ask about the genesis for this idea. Like, was this, I gather you met your husband in the place where you work, and this is maybe where the seeds of this idea began?
Not exactly. So this book has kind of been a long time coming. I used to work in manufacturing research.
Okay.
And in manufacturing, they do use robots. They call them collaborative robots.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that they work like on a production line alongside staff.
Okay.
Now, the type of robots that they use in factories are like pretty much just like a swiveling arm.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the US Office, that American sitcom, and, movies like Office Space. So I was imagining, well, what if the robot wasn't just a swivel arm? What if it was a walking, talking robot?
Mm.
And then, meanwhile, Elon Musk keeps announcing that he's going to launch a humanoid robot any day now, which I don't believe, but it kind of sparked my imagination that what would it be like if, a colleague turned up. And then kind of around the same time, my daughter was five.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sort of reaching that prime question time phase that children go through. But she had this kind of unusual quirk in her speech that instead of using the word people, she would always use the word humans. So she would say, "Mama, why do humans sleep?" And, "Mama, why do humans eat?" Or, "Why do humans die?" And she sounded like an alien, like a kind of an innocent newcomer.
Okay.
So the actual character of the robot in the story is kind of and innocent. You know, he means well, but things, of course, go wrong with the best of intentions.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a fascinating book. But, I mean, the idea of it, it is grounded in office culture. And you are interested in, I know you're writing about it, in office culture. You did work in an office and you have some thoughts around where office work might be going and the idea that office culture is possibly being lost. And I mean, office, you know, we used to go into an office 5 days a week and have this almost extended family.
Yeah, I kind of have a lot of mixed feelings, a lot. It's kind of like a love-hate relationship. So I have, you know, made amazing friends through work and I've met my husband through work. But I think there's like two big issues with the office, or two, you know, two big problems. Like one is the open plan, which I'll talk about now. And then the other is the sort of the frequency of being there. So like while I was researching the book a bit, I end up, as many writers do, you look for a distraction to not actually do the work. So I end up kind of researching the original like open plan office. So it was the sort of cubicle life was actually designed by this American art professor called Robert Probst in the 1960s. And his concept was that everybody would have their own cubicle, like that you could modularize yourself. You could have a standing desk. You could have a place where you could put all your stuff. There was no clean desk. You could have all your stuff out on your desk and then just cover it over and lock it at night. And you could have privacy. So that was the original idea for cubicle life. But over the years, the walls have come down and down and down. And now when you're in the office, you don't have any privacy. So you walk
you mightn't even have a desk. You might be hot desk.
Well, exactly. So you don't have any, you know, place. And then like if you walk into an open plan office now, you'll see loads of people with headphones on because they're trying to create some kind of a private space, which they can't do. And then the other thing is then that the frequency. So like those of us who are kind of, you know, our generation would be, you know, remember the days of the 5 day in the office.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, but Gen Z, like the people in their 20s, they have, some of them have never done 5 days in the office. So, and the idea to them is just horrifying.
It certainly is. And I've come across them as well. Tell me this. I gather in a piece you wrote around the book that you had some pretty unusual colleagues over the years. We all may have had. In particular, I'm thinking of a guy who used to, perhaps I can do it. So, sorry, my apologies. But he used to quite literally grunt Seven Nation Army to anyone who was interested or not interested, as was the case.
The issue was that he would only ever do those opening chords and he would do it every single time that he went to make a sales call. And he was a salesman. So imagine like constantly.
So this was kind of his Rocky music.
Yes, he would like pump himself up for those sales calls. And I don't even know if he was aware that he was doing it, you know, that way. Like a lot of people have these, you know, have these habits. Like when I'm at home, I on my own, I talk to myself out loud. So, you know, when I go into the office, like I have to rein that in.
Yes.
And, like the people I feel really sorry for in the sort of the office situation are the introverts, you know, the introverts and the eccentrics. My husband calls me quirky, but, you know, it's probably only a matter of time until I become eccentric.
But, you know, the introverted person who had to get a job we all have to a certain extent, who had to go into the office 5 days a week. And I'm not coming down on either side of it, but at least they were dragged, albeit kicking and screaming, into a place where they had to, you know, communicate with others, whether they wanted to or not. So there may have been some benefit to that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like, I do like, you know, I'm an extrovert. So
yes,
like,
indeed you are.
I don't mind being in the office, but it's when it's like all the time that it becomes a lot. But like one of the things I love about it is that it's a way to meet people from all walks of life. And like that's one of the reasons why I set chaos theory in an office. It's because all of human life is here.
You know, it certainly is.
In that case,
is.
Some of non-human life. So you have different generations. Like I'm 52, so I wouldn't normally be hanging around with people in their 20s, you know. So my impression of Gen Z might be all based on what I would see on the internet. But, you know, it's good to actually meet people of different ages and with different views as well.
Absolutely. As you might expect, lots of people texting in on WhatsApp on 087 1400 106 with stories of horrible colleagues or annoying colleagues. One of my colleagues had a desk piled so high with papers, he even used to have a bin on his desk. It was absolutely disgusting. One of the women I worked with many years ago used to lick her lips after eating a packet of crisps every day. It drove me mad. You should never do that in public and then get to touch things in the office. Licking your lips after crisps isn't the worst I've ever heard. I had a guy who used to always refer to his desk as his workstation. It was a very annoying habit. I'm sitting at my workstation at the moment. But you did meet your husband in the office. That's what I was getting at earlier. Yeah. In the place we work, that it can be, you know, a place where not just romance happens, but you form friendships in a way that possibly doesn't happen the way it used to when if you're only going in one or two days a week. I remember even being in here years ago and thinking, you know, I spend more time with these people than I do with my wife or my first child or my mother or whatever. So the forced intimacy of or whatever, you do miss that, I guess.
Yeah, well, it is a type of a family, you know, and like a family, you know, it's multi-generational and you don't get to choose who they are, you know, so you can, and you know, you can have this kind of nice, like slow evolution of friendships as well, where you get to know people gradually. And as well, like when I became a parent, I found my opportunities for meeting new friends diminished, you know, so the workplace became more important as a social outlet then. But I do think like moderation is a good thing, and like, you know, probably the only thing we can be glad of post COVID is that it has changed our working lives. You know, it's very expensive for people to come into work every day. You know, there's the cost of going to work as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One other text. Well, I presume it's a text and not just someone behind the glass saying it to me. You haven't mentioned bad body odor. One of my colleagues came directly from the gym without showering and the smell got so bad. We reported him to HR. Interesting stuff. That'd be a hard one to go to HR about. But anyway, you're a braver person than I am. But back to the matter at hand. Sylvia Latham, I did give her the wrong name, so I'm very keen to give her the correct name. Her new book, Chaos Theory, which is all about a robot joining an office and fun and games ensue after. Where can people get this, Sylvia?
So it's going to be out in 2 weeks' time, on the 5th of September. So you can pre-order it or you can get it when it comes out. You can get it in Chapters bookstore in Dublin, or you can request it from your favourite bookshop. And you can also get it online, and there will be an audiobook coming soon.
Fantastic. And in the audiobook, are you going to get your daughter to voice any of the...
She would love to do that, actually, because she's really into drama.
Yeah.
But
let's see. Let's get through the initial sales pitch first of all. Sylvia, thanks very much for coming into studio.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.